Okay, so listen, we're really looking forward to this, as I haven't spoken to our next guest since 1996, and I know she's sitting there going, what are you talking about? Whoa. Now, I'll preface this by saying the guest has no idea who I am. But okay. back when I worked at UNLV, you ready for this, Beth? When I was I traveled with the Lady Rebels softball team to the Women's College World Series that year in Oklahoma City to broadcast the play-by-play back to Vegas. And I met you, of course, listened to you doing your play-by-play. It was always a great experience, and still is, listening to you. And, of course, we're bringing on now Raiders play-by-play announcer and all-around great broadcaster, Beth Moen. Beth, it's been a long time, but welcome to Raider Nation Radio.
Oh, it's good to be back, Scott. I wish it was under better circumstances. And I was talking to you from training camp in Napa, and we were getting ready for some preseason. But we're all doing what we got to do and making the adjustments we got to make, and certainly hopeful that the regular season is going to be ready to go without a hitch.
Yeah, absolutely, Beth. I mean, we're all disappointed about the way this pandemic has impacted life, and then, of course, sports is part of life. And for you, you know, there won't be any Raiders preseason games, of course, but this has had a wider impact, I think, on all of us who work in sports. How have you kept busy, and just how much are you going to miss doing those Raider games?
Well, I will tell you this, Scott. I would much rather have a glass of nice Napa Cabernet in my hand and preparing for tomorrow's practice than spreading mulch around the backyard. We're fixing up a house to be sold, so I'm doing some manual labor instead of working the vocal cords. So you try and figure out things to do and ways to pass the time and be as productive as you can. And it's been great to at least be able to, you know, watch some NBA and watch some WNBA, check out the Aces, and certainly with the golf back this weekend, it's been pretty cool.
Well, Scott, unlike you, I try to talk with Beth and keep in touch with her at least a couple times a year. So welcome to the show, Beth. It's great to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Mark Davis as the owner of the Raiders? What he's been able to do since 2011 when he ultimately took over for Al, going from Oakland to now having what he has in Las Vegas?
I think what's been remarkable is, in that game of musical chairs that was going on a few years ago, guys, and it looked like Mark was the one that missed out on that last chair and the move to Los Angeles. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today a stadium that's second to none, a fan base that cannot wait to kick off the season in Vegas, Raider Nation continuing to follow from, all over the Southwest and all over the country. I'm excited when we can get fans back in there, to see the flow from the airport, out onto the strip and out over to Allegiant. It's going to be fantastic to see. And the job that Mark has done to figure out a way to find the Raiders this gorgeous new home and to start to put together a team that, I heard you guys talking a moment ago. I mean, the expectations are high to have Coach Gruden back, and it's year three, and Carr has some stability in the system, and he's got all these weapons. And certainly Gruden and Mayock made all the moves in the offseason to get the defense up to snuff. So, to be where they are right now and to have big expectations and to have everything shiny and brand new in Vegas is a real tribute to him and Mark Bedain and everybody, in the Raiders administration.
Beth, we're talking to Beth Moens. Of course, she does play-by-play for the Raiders and also everywhere. I mean, basketball, other football, it's great. Always love hearing your voice, Beth. When you look at the Raiders and what they're coming into here in Las Vegas, we hear it here in Las Vegas. Of course, we hear about the folks, of course, who were disappointed to lose the team from the Bay Area. What's kind of the scuttlebutt? I mean, especially pre-COVID, what's the scuttlebutt about Vegas as a new NFL market amongst you, your colleagues, and what you're hearing around the country?
I think you can judge first and foremost by the schedule and the fact that they've got the most nationally televised games, I think, that they've ever had. And, we were hoping before all this happened that the networks weren't going to come in and steal away all our preseason games. You know, it's a destination. And it's one of those places, I think, where fans from everywhere are going to want to go to, and Raider fans from all over the country, all over the world, you know, what better way to spend the weekend? You come in, you know, a night early, you have a good time on the town, you enjoy the Raiders game on Sunday, you can be back to work if you need to be, you know, first thing Monday morning. Everybody is thrilled about the market and about an opportunity to go and enjoy all the things that Las Vegas provides, but then also to be able to go watch the NFL and for it to be the Raiders, you know, one of the marquee names in the NFL, just adds to it.
Talking right now with Beth Mowis on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920. And Derek Carr is the conversation that never ends. He's the argument that never ends. From what you've seen from Derek Carr, you've seen his maturation year to year. What does he need to do to take the next step to kind of quiet the outside noise?
Well, I think it goes back to what you guys were talking about just a moment ago and what he showed us he could do in the playoff season a few years back. And that's win the close games, win the fourth quarter, be able to win on the road. That has been a huge problem, right, the last couple of years. So in those environments and even without fans, you know, in all likelihood in a lot of places on the road or at least a smaller number of fans, to be able to manage you know, the adversity. And I think it sounds like he is absolutely raring to go and wants to show everybody what he's capable of. The weapons are certainly there. You know, the expectation has got to be for a top five offense. You know, if you're going to try and compete with the Chiefs to win the division, you've got to be able to do that sort of stuff. So I would imagine Derek's awfully excited to be in the position that he's in with one of the best offensive lines in the league in front of him, and now all these new weapons around him. I can't wait to see, you know, what Gruden and Greg Olsen in that offense are capable of.
Beth, when we think about the NFL in many cities this year without fans in the stands, of course, television becomes everything, right? TV drives the NFL as we know anyway. And as I watch, and I know you said you watch WNBA games, NHL, Major League Baseball games without fans, what do you think about what the NFL might do? The NFL, people always forget, it's a massive entertainment company, not just the football, but it's an entertainment business. Do you think the NFL might pull some new stops out to make this TV presentation even more sort of, I think, engaging for fans as we move forward?
I would absolutely think that will be the case. You know, they have an opportunity to sort of watch what the NBA has done, what the NHL has done, what soccer, you know, Premier League soccer has been going on for, you know, much of the summer. So they've got some of the best creative minds in the biz. I'm anxious to see what it's going to look like and what it's going to sound like and all the different things that they'll be capable of doing without fans in the stadiums to make it a unique viewing experience. And certainly without fans, you can put cameras almost anywhere and microphones almost anywhere. You don't have to worry about blocking anybody's view or anything like that. So it's a matter of just how creative you know, the TV folks can get. And I'm excited to see. I'm hoping that we'll be able to at least be on site as announced teams. But honestly, we haven't heard a whole lot of, you know, the decisions that they've made regarding all that yet. But it's got to be coming pretty soon if, you know, colleges, some of the conferences are going to start the first couple of weeks in September and then certainly the NFL right after that.
How do you think a radio broadcast is going to sound without natural crowd noise?
Well, that's the other thing. Is radio going to pump in sound just like they are for some of the other events and some of the other games? Quite honestly, I've been watching Premier League all summer, and granted it's a little bit different, but I thought the noise that they were pumping in, the crowd noise they were pumping in, made it sound just like you were there at the game, you know, at the right, at the game. So I don't know what radio is going to do in that regard. It would certainly be very easy for them to put some NAT sound underneath the call if they wanted to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm watching baseball too, Beth, and they've used the crowd noise from a video game inside the stadium, which then the radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts are picking up. But I know, too, I mean, going back to my college days when we had to, because we had no budget, we sometimes had to call games on the student radio by watching it on television. And it's funny how we're back at that. And I hear some broad now, someone like you, a true pro who's done it for so long and so well, you adjust, right? I mean, you're still calling the action. Yeah, you don't get the atmosphere, but you know the games. It's all about the preparation anyway, and that won't change, right?
Yeah, no, that won't change at all. What will be interesting to see and to hear is, will they have to put some sort of noise underneath it? Because where will they have microphones that would they might be able to pick up conversations and some salty language from down on the field from time to time that they may have to cover up? Unless it's HBO's Hard Knocks. So that's going to be interesting to see how they sort of put all of that together. But from a preparation standpoint, not different at all, other than the fact that instead of having meetings face-to-face, you'd probably be dealing a lot more with, you know, the Zoom calls, I think, are here to stay in terms of interacting with coaches and players and getting your research done that way.
Beth, I know we're here talking Raiders, but I had to get your thoughts on what they did in Washington, hiring Julie Donaldson to be part of the radio broadcast. She's also senior president of media. What were your thoughts when you saw that hire from Washington?
Oh, that was terrific. I was really happy for her, and that's a great opportunity to, you know, create some change. And one of the things, guys, that, you know, it's a fine line to walk. You know, hammer away at an organization from the outside and try and create pressure to change from the outside, or do you get inside that organization and try and create change from within? And coming from a team background myself and growing up playing sports, I think it's a great opportunity for Julie to sort of change, you know, that locker room, change everything from within, if you will, that team experience, and, you know, create a new way of looking at things for that entire organization. So hopefully that's what will come about from that, and for her to be able to get that opportunity. You know, it's still, in most cases, as you know, guys, it's a lot of older men that are still the decision makers in sports, and all that, you know, anybody can hope for is a level playing field, just an opportunity to have my name mentioned in the room when they're making, you know, key personnel decisions, and to have a shot at it. So I'm glad that, you know, she put herself in the position to be considered for that job and got it.
Well, Beth, before we let you go, just to finish on that one, too, because I think that, you know, hopefully there's a day when we don't even have this conversation, because we're seeing more women, not only in broadcasting, but also we're seeing women coach men's sports. We see a woman coach now with the San Francisco Giants in Major League Baseball. How much progress have you seen? I mean, of course, we need to get there get further along. But how much progress since you started your career have you seen?
Well, you know, when I was first starting out, I was usually the only girl in the room. And so to see, you know, women in every position now in the TV industry, there's obviously still, you know, more work to be done in terms of producers and directors and decision makers and things like that. But we're moving in the right direction. Just to be able to see, you know, women in coaching roles, you know, the whole argument that you had to have played the game or that you had to have been a star at it, you know, a lot of, in fact, most of the great coaches were not necessarily great players and didn't necessarily have these momentous collegiate careers. So the ability to learn the game and to teach the game, that's not a skill that's unique to a particular gender. And so I'm thrilled to see it, and I hope you're right, guys. You know, the day is coming where it won't be such a big deal, and, you know, you won't have to have those conversations. You'll just be able to be considered for the job regardless, and it's still about proving that you're capable of doing it, and that's all that we can hope for and ask for.
That's right. Beth Mowins has been our guest here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Beth, thank you so much, first of all, for all the work you've done. And again, listening to you all over these years and respecting the craft, respecting the preparation involved with that, and respecting you for how you carry yourself. So thank you so much for joining us here.
Well, Thank you. And I hope it's only 25 days, Scott, and not 25 years for our
conversation. Tell him, Beth.
But Beth, remember that year UNLV finished third, Shan McDonald, Amy Stewart, the All-American pitcher, and that's the year that UCLA had to give up their title because of some issues. So I always say we really finished second.
Well, the team that knocked you out was number one Arizona, so
yes.
And they really were worthy of the championship that year. So, yeah, you probably could consider yourselves number two that season.
Well, Beth, thank you again. It's been a long time, but it won't be between the times you come here on the show. We appreciate it today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Beth Mowins, play-by-play for the Raiders, of course, in the preseason. A great, great broadcaster. All right, Q, we're going to take a break, man. You ready to get a breather?
No, never. Let's just keep it going. No, I'm kidding.
We're going to pay some bills when we come back. We'll carry on with the Raider Nation talk here on Raider Nation Radio 920.